WildTalkRadio.com.
I only have one thing to say. It's great to be back on Monday Night Raw!
Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw post show.
This is my yard now.
Featuring Sir Rockin.
If I were to apply to you now on this concrete, a perfectly executed inside cradle, commonly known as a small package, how long do you think it would take you to escape?
You would never escape a perfectly executed small package. 99% of the time, a small package when applied expertly by an expert wrestler like myself always works.
And Lindsay Ward.
Yeah, well, I'm here to make something perfectly clear. The queen is dead. And for the first time ever in Monday Night Raw history, I can rightfully say, long live the one, the only goddess of WWE.
Interact with us live and give us your thoughts on everything that happens on Monday Night Raw. Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
Monday Night Raw.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Raw Post Show live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Presented as always by Gerwick.net and Wrestling Figure Photography. Follow the journey today. Instagram.com/MBG1211.
You are the father!
Yeah.
Did you shoot that off early, or was that intentional?
That was planned, because I'm sorry, I can answer Lindsay Ward. I'm sitting here trying to figure out words, okay?
Okay, so I'm just going to take over since you're at a loss for words. So basically, for the last few weeks, we've been teased about Kurt Angle having some sort of mysterious secret, and it's been tied to Corey Graves, and, you know, Kurt Angle and Corey keep having these, you know, secret meetings about what's going on, and last week it all came to a head when Kurt said, well, I'm going to have to go public with this. There's just, you know, nothing I can do about it because he's getting all these threatening text messages where basically you have to come out with it or we're going to ruin you with it. And so Kurt decides to go public with it. So he comes out halfway or towards the end of Monday Night Raw in the 10 o'clock spot, comes out and, you know, says he has a secret. He has to tell all of us, and WWE is supportive of him and his family is supportive of him. And we're all sitting here and it's like for a week now, everybody's been trying to guess what it is. It's everything from he took a spin through Dixieland to Stephanie McMahon, the affair back with Stephanie McMahon way back in the day, and everything in between. And so we're all trying to guess, and Kurt takes us down this long winding road about how, well, when he was in a college, he was dating a girl, and I guess they didn't have safe sex, because 9 months later, out came a bouncing baby boy. That's right, Kurt Angle's secret is that he has an illegitimate son, but it gets better. Why does it get better? Because the kid was put up for adoption, and it was a closed adoption, so Kurt never knew until recently when he started getting threatening text messages. And, well, we got introduced to Kurt Angle's son, because wouldn't you know it, he ended up in WWE. What a coinkydink. And who is the son, you might ask? Why, it's none other than Jason Jordan. I'm just going to say this. I was actually really happy for Jason Jordan. I'm very sad they broke up American Alpha. Really very sad for it, because it's like, aw, damn it. Chad Gable apparently didn't know, because he was like, what? But I'm okay with this. I want to see where this goes. I'm honestly very curious. I'm not, like, super excited for it, but it's like, okay, all right, let's give this a chance. And actually, if you see Kurt and Jason side by side, they do have similar facial features, so they can pull it off. It's not like just some weird, you know, it's not like the Hornswoggle Fit Finley situation where they don't look anything alike. It's like, okay, all right, they have the same kind of cheekbones and the same nose and everything like that. So yeah, this could work. This could totally work. Your thoughts, if you've had time to gather them.
Apparently they're doing a better job explaining everything on the network than they did on Monday Night Raw. Okay. I have
time
so
constraints.
Time, really? Okay. Time constraints on this show. We spent 17 minutes doing nothing. Legit. We had a backstage segment, and oh my god, Tozawa and Cruz and Titus O'Neil are Titus Worldwide. We spent 17 minutes doing nothing. There was no time constraints. Really? Time constraints. Okay. No.
And they didn't tape the ropes for 205
and
Live.
They didn't tape the ropes for 205 Live. Okay? That was a thing. That was there's so many storyline loopholes in this story that make no sense.
Well, okay, but they have time to tie him up.
They do. Okay. They made it on the network thing that, you know, his real parents are his adoptive parents or his real actual parents, not Kurt Angle's, not the real, you know, whatever. They made it clear that yada, yada, yada. Okay. So, does Jason Jordan automatically get a push? If he gets a push, does that mean he's being favored by his father? So, you know, the backlash from the locker room, does that mean Jason Jordan's turning heel? Does it mean Kurt Angle's turning heel? Or are they just going to be two likable guys having a good time on Monday Night Raw? Can we see the two of them having a catch? Are they going to talk about the birds and the bees? What other can they go for a picnic? Could they go for a walk in a park? Make something entertaining and happy and whatever. Makes no sense.
Okay, but you're not going to get those answers on the first shot, right? I mean, obviously, the threatening text messages have to be addressed.
And I think
because they were. They were threatening Kurt with basically ruin if he didn't come out and say what it was.
And I believe the person doing it was the person he slept with, not his adoptive parents, not anything like that. Reason Corey Graves knew because Jason Jordan told him a long time ago because, you know, the people tell him things. This was what they've been saying all along. Everyone tells Corey Graves things, including you know,
Kurt Angle's bastard kid.
So it's like, okay, was it better than having a big Dixie Carter? Yes. Was it better than being Chad Gable? Sure. Is this interesting? It remains to be seen. I'm always trying to find the positive, and I always try to look ahead and see what's coming. And I look at Jason Jordan, and he's a tremendous talent. He lacks a little bit of charisma, but maybe with Kurt Angle by his side, it'll be fine. But what does this do for Jason Jordan long term? Is this a short term idea where it's like, oh my god, he's his father, but 6 months from now, it's going to be, dropped? Are they not going to reference it, or they're just going to always reference it to, okay, he's Kurt Angle's kid, and he'll always be Kurt Angle's kid, and we go from there. It's like they wanted to pop a rating, and they probably popped the rating with this story, and the audience probably dropped out once that happened, because that's what usually happens to begin with. I just look at the situation, and I go, they could have done something different and more intriguing, because the intrigue is no longer there. Jason Jordan being revealed, you've already lost the intrigue. If you came up with a convoluted storyline with more twists and turns, maybe it would be more must-see. But now, okay, Jason Jordan, they broke up American Alpha, okay? So where does this leave Chad Gable? Can we bring Chad Gable over to Raw and they can be a tag team? Because God knows we need tag teams on Monday Night Raw.
Depends on who they send over to SmackDown.
That's another loophole. Just because Kurt Angle's someone, you know, Jason Jordan's his son, you can just pull him from SmackDown? Shouldn't SmackDown be getting something in return?
I explained this to you. It's called Kurt Angle pulled on Daniel Bryan's new father heartstrings and said, well, I'm a new father too. I just found out I had a son and he works for you. Can he come over to my show? And Bryan being Bryan was like, yeah, sure. And meanwhile, Shane is in the corner going, damn it. You know that's how that went down.
I know, but that's stupid logic.
Dude, what are we talking about right now?
I know.
It's wrestling! There is no logic in wrestling!
Here's the thing, I always try to look for the logic. I try to look for the positive, and I hope they thought this out, and I know they didn't, because guess what? You've now pigeonholed this person as Kurt Angle's son for the rest of his career. I hope it was worth it for this story. That's all. I hope it was worth it. We'll see where it goes. Best way to sum that up?
I think they have a plan. I don't know what it is, I don't know how thoroughly or how well they've thought it out, but there is obviously a plan. Of some kind, and it's to obviously push Jason Jordan, because I don't think Kurt Angle is really here for the long haul. I think he's here until 2K18 comes out, and then once 2K18 comes out, he's gone, kind of thing.
No, Kurt's here for the long haul. He's here for another year or two.
Well, in that case, it's like, you know what, you do the thing with Jason Jordan, and then you send him back to SmackDown.
No, he's on Raw. He's on Raw for now, and now he's going to be a guy in the shuffle. Will he not? It's probably going to be Miz and Jason Jordan at some point.
I'm fine with that if that ends Miz and Dean Ambrose. I'm 110% fine with that.
But that's not ending anytime soon because we have a love affair to open up Monday Night Raw.
Oh my god, this was the most, awkward thing ever. Can I explain this?
Go right ahead.
Okay, So Dean comes out, and Dean threatens Miz and the Miztourage. You know, yeah, whatever, it's Dean being Dean. You know, he gets cheap pops with dropping Nashville and everything like that. And Dean's calling out Miz and the Miztourage. And then out comes Seth, the last person Dean Ambrose wants to see in the world. Or is it? You know, or is he? So these two go back and forth. They exchange barbs. You know, shots are fired. Dean's like, oh, I don't trust you because 3 years ago, you stabbed me in the back and you beat me up with a chair. And Seth, like, goes, or no, Dean says, you know, you beat me up with a chair, yada, 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 rehashes all these Shield stuff. And Seth finally snaps and he goes, it was 3 years ago. 3 years ago. And I'm sorry. And there's this really awkward moment where everybody's like,
Did he just apologize?
Did he just apologize? Ronald, did that just happen?
I was around, I was like, I've never done this, but yeah, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. And so I'm sitting here and I'm just like, oh my God, is he going to do what I think he's going to do? Oh God, if he gets down on one knee, I'm done with wrestling. I'm so done with wrestling. And Seth's like, you know, well, basically he's proposing that they be friends again, which is really, really extremely super awkward. It was just like, okay, all right, this is getting a little weird because Dean's like, nah, man, I don't trust you any further than I can throw you. And Seth's like, you know what? Okay, fine. I'm sick of this crap. We're going to end this once and for all. We're going to settle this. You know, you do whatever you got to do to get out of your system. And then he turns his back on Dean and he holds out his arms and he's basically like, hit me. Hit me with the chair. Do what you gotta do with it. You know, if it fixes the problem, if it makes you feel better about it, whatever, just beat me down with the chair, right? And I'm sitting here like, okay, this is not the time to get kinky. Save that for later.
Do it, damn it. Hit me as many times as you need to get this out of your system.
I'm serious, that's what he said. And everybody's just sitting here. And we're all going, dude, no, not the time. Not appropriate. Kids are watching this show.
It's only 8 o'clock. Do it at 11 o'clock. Kids aren't watching them.
Yeah, do it at 11 o'clock. Everybody's asleep. So Dean and Seth kind of continue back and forth for a minute or two, and then out comes the Miztourage, which, of course, they then beat up Seth and Dean. They leave them for dead. Miz fires shots verbally at Dean and Seth, and then the Miztourage just get the hell out of there and leave Dean and Seth for dead.
Miz talked about how, you know, Dean can't beat him. She mentioned there was a skull-crushing finale on an open chair by Miz to Seth Rollins. And then Miztourage left them lying and then just said, we're done, we left. One of the girls, Charlie, I think, was trying to get a word. Like, nope, we're done, we left. And they left the building.
By the way, Maurice, super cute romper. Super freaking cute romper.
So,
loved it.
So matches that happened on Monday Night Raw. Opening segment was good. I will say that. Can't say that about a lot of things on the show, but that was really good.
It's good story progression because we're finally getting that closure between Dean and Seth that, like, everybody's been waiting for. Because they went for the Dean and Seth feud right after the Shield ended. And then they moved Dean on to Bray, and they moved Seth on from there. And then Seth got hurt. And so then he was out for a while, and then he came back. And, you know, the two have never really come close again to each other. And so now that they're on the same show, you're bringing Seth and Dean back together a little bit. You're having them work together a little bit and doing a quasi-Shield reunion.
So they bickered back and forth backstage later in the night. Kurt Angle said, you know, you guys got out of your system. Next week, you two are booked in a 2-on-2 match against the Miztourage. Everyone said, why two? Make it all three.
And Seth's like, oh, damn it.
But secretly is enjoying it a lot.
Because he gets to play with Dean.
Yeah. All right, matches that happened on Monday Night Raw. Alexa Bliss lost to Bayley in a really good match. You had Nia Jax come down, and then Sasha came in to make the save, and Bayley picked up the win. Good match. See this.
Nia and Alexa are so cute together. Like, the look that Alexa got when Nia came out, it's like, aw, there's my girlfriend! It's adorable.
So, later at night, they were with Kurt Angle, and Kurt Angle made a match between the two of them for next week, because they both wanted, you know, a shot at Alexa for a title. Bayley kept bringing up jabs. I pinned her. You only won by count. It was awesome, but you beat her by count. I made the pin. So next week, it's Bayley versus Sasha for a shot at Alexa Bliss.
Here we go.
I smell Nia Jax getting involved that one. Just call me crazy.
You crazy.
Really?
What?
Never mind. So, mentioned Titus O'Neil things. He was... Shoot. Anyway, he was trying to talk them up. So, Mustafa Ali, Jack Gallagher, beat Brian Kendrick and Drew Gulak in 2 minutes and 20 seconds. The big news out of this whole thing, no purple ropes.
Yeah, they've stopped taping the ropes, which I don't think is necessarily a good sign for the cruiserweights, but also is a great sign for the crew, because I think the crew finally had enough of going out there and taping the ropes for like a 2 minutes or less segment. It's like, it's stupid. We're wasting too much time. We're wasting too much money on this when we can just have them go out there, do the match, and leave. I wouldn't be surprised if they taped the ropes for 205 Live, but yeah, they've stopped doing it, at least this week on Raw.
205 will still get the purple ropes because it's a show. You tape it for the show. That's fine. Akira Tozawa lost to Aria Davari when Titus O'Neil told the referee to stop the match because in 3 minutes, Akira Tozawa's arm was being weakened so much that after 3 minutes, it needed to be stopped. After 3 minutes, it needed to be stopped. You heard
me
right.
Yeah, it's a little weak.
3 minutes. Really, really weak. Tozawa's mad. It's leading to a rematch tomorrow night.
Yes.
3 minutes. He worked on his arm for 3 minutes, so... Okay, that's the thing.
Side note, Drew, grow your facial hair back.
Finn Balor beat Elias Sammon by disqualification. Why? Finn Balor got El Cabonged.
Oh boy, did he get El Cabonged. He had two guitar-shaped scrapes on the backslash side of his head from where Elias hit him with the guitar.
So, you know how what they're supposed to do with these guitar shots? You're supposed to use hollowed-out guitars. Yeah, that didn't work.
It's where he hit him. He caught Finn. It's like he hit Finn on the shoulder with the guitar like he was supposed to, but the leading edge of the guitar on the bottom caught Finn on the side of the head. That's what happened.
But go ahead.
Because you're really actually supposed to do it, I think, across the back.
Usually they did it over the head, so it just, you would hang over the head, but you don't do any headshots anymore, WWE. So they went for the shoulder. To look like it hit him in the head, so they went with the shoulder. And, you know, that's what happened. Then your boy, Bray Wyatt, showed up.
And oh boy, was he feeling his oats tonight! Somebody wants the demons. Someone wants him to come out and play very, very, very badly.
He says he feels the need to put Balor in agony. He says he's not a myth unlike Balor. He says he's the worst nightmare that Balor has ever had. Told Balor to enjoy it for now. Solid.
Bray's feeling kinky.
So we finally made our way back to the Finn Balor.
After a really long detour, we're back at it for SummerSlam.
After about an 8-week detour, we're back in that direction. Let's see. What other matches happened on Monday Night Raw? The Hardy Boys lost to the Revival. They had a pretty good match.
Side note. WWE, for your Instagram with the backpack and the passport and Forever the Revival, bless.
Two thumbs up.
Awesome shot. Well done.
So... Enzo Amore came to the ring, and he talked about fighting words, and you win some, you lose some, yada, yada, yada. He spoke a long time, which he could have made his point in 20 seconds. He talked about Kaz is 7 foot tall, but Dex being 7 foot tall didn't win us any championships. He talked about being thrown by Kaz around because they were teaming forever, but it didn't win them anything. He said he got back up to his feet like a man and made him finish the fight. He said they showed the footage of Big Show. What happened with Big Show? Cass walking away. Enzo said Cass bounced a check and he sucked. He said that Cass folded like a lawn chair when the going got tough. He was about to call him soft, but Cass came down to the ring with his generic music. Enzo quickly went into the crowd. Said, "I'm gonna get this fan with my wig on, and we're gonna sit here and we're gonna watch someone beat you up." That person was Big Show. So they brawled. And brawled. And then Cass put him down. And then Cass continued to try to put him down. And it was really slow and really slow. And then Enzo ate a boot.
He did.
Beatdown was not really impressive as it should have been. Because it felt like it took way too long. That's just me.
I feel like if you were going to have Enzo come out, or you were going to have Cass come out and beat up Enzo, that you just have Cass come out and beat up Enzo. And you try to have Big Show make the save, and Cass beats up Big Show. Like, this was just really kind of sort of indirect.
This felt really drawn out and didn't help things. Because this show was really struggling.
Yeah, this drug really, really badly after about the first hour. That middle hour, whew.
It wasn't even the middle. It was after the first 35 minutes, because then there's 17 minutes. When the rant was 17 minutes of nothingness. We had two backstage promos on a few videos, and they didn't even change the rope. Just pointing that out. Anyway, main event was good. Samoa Joe fought Roman Reigns to a no contest when Braun returned.
Side note, I like how Braun is in like a major car accident where they have to use the jaws of life and everything, and he could barely walk afterwards. And the only bandage he has after 8 days is one on his arm.
That's it. One little wrap on his arm. So Braun came in after breaking up the really good match. He destroyed both men. Joe tried to choke him out. They all fought each other. It was a really good fight, really good brawl. match was really good, but I don't know if it was enough to save the show.
It was kind of expected. Like, you were waiting for Braun to come back. You were waiting for Braun to target Roman because that's how he does it. It was a little bit better because he went for Joe and Roman, and he beat up Joe and Roman, and Joe got up first, and he was absolutely seething angry. So I think they're setting up Joe versus Braun, which I'm fine with. I am 1,000 times fine with that. Just see them beat the crap out of each other because Joe pulls the best out of people, so he could pull something really good out of Braun.
Pretty much, yeah. Hopefully that'll turn out good. I just wasn't impressed with this show tonight.
It feels like they were stalling for next week. Like, we can't kick it off because Battleground's on Sunday and we don't want to start SummerSlam storylines early. So we're just going to dick around for a week, and then next week they're going to start all the SummerSlam stories at once. Like, they kind of started to do the setup for a couple tonight, but overall it was, screw it, we'll get it next week. And there was a lot of filler in this show.
And I just felt let down by the Kurt Angle thing. I don't know why, it just...
I think everybody pretty much had figured it was either going to be he was having an affair with someone or he had a bastard kid. I think everybody had pretty much figured it out, but in terms of the bastard kid, I don't think anybody was necessarily thinking Jason Jordan. So that was a surprise. But I didn't mind it. I'm just curious to see where it goes.
I hope it goes somewhere. That's all. I hope it goes somewhere.
Don't we all?
Anyway, that's Raw Post Show Live right here on Wild Talk Radio Network. Tomorrow night, twitch.tv/rockradioshow is WTR Sims at 11:30 p.m. Eastern. See what goes down. WTR Sims, it's going to be a thing. Check it out. Archives available at youtube.com/rackradioshow. Thursday night, though, we get to talk all about the Punjabi prison.
Oh, God. That's right. We'll be back live. We are talking Battleground. We'll be previewing it. We'll be talking all about the matches, including SmackDown, NXT. We'll preview Battleground, like he said. We'll be talking all about the wonderful Punjabi prison match. Yay! And so much more. It's The Rack. Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on WallTalkRadio.com.
On all the social medias, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, Stitcher, iTunes, Instagram, search Rack Radio Show. Saturday night, midnight edition, CB Radio. We're doing the Great and the Great Debate television characters. The list is at 256. See how far we get on Saturday night with it. It's the Great and the Great Debate live only on CB Radio. CB Radio Live on Facebook, Twitter.com. Hashtag Blame Rob when a celebrity dies. Sunday night, Wrestle Talk Radio is back after the Party Animals party too hard. We kind of postponed the show last night. But they're back live, 11 p.m. Eastern, to recap everything that goes down at Battleground, including the Punjabi prison. Check it out. Russell Talk Radio, 11 p.m. Eastern this Sunday night. We'll be back next Monday for the Raw Post Show, 11:10 p.m. Eastern at Wild Talk Radio, facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network.
You can follow me on Twitter at Lensward, LNSWRD. My website, sickworddesigns.com. If you like my artwork, if you'd like to view my artwork, it is available for your viewing pleasure at behance.net/Lensward, same as the Twitters.
Thanks to Gerwick.net and Wrestling Figure Photography. Follow during the Instagram.com/MBG1211. I'm Sorokin, she's Lindsay Ware. We'll see you next Monday for a Raw Post Show, this Thursday for The Rack, all along the airways of the Wild Talk Radio Network, right here at WildTalkRadio.com.
Radio.com.